Today on the Mike O'Mara Show.
This new Big Mac, the double Big Mac, is so good.
When you order this...
Oh, dear.
My vision was, I swear to God, when Oscar tasked us all with grabbing this, I expected I was going to get a box that was that
a mile high. You
know? Like a top hat box. A memo went out from Taylor Swift's camp, not directly, but through that camp, that said if anyone is willing to give up their box, there was a $500,000 bounty on it.
I could see that being plausible.
Yeah. Right?
Okay.
Does being the $500,000, does it include touchdown brownies?
I eat usually rarely before 11 a.m. every day.
Oh.
That's what I do.
Wow.
So this is, and I ate my protein bars prior to coming in here. So I'm going.
All that and more. The Mike O'Mara Show starts now. Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment. You can listen to The Mike O'Mara Show at MikeO'MaraShow.com.
Let's get started.
It's The Mike O'Mara Show with Mike O'Mara, Oscar Santana, and Rob Spiewak. Now, here's Mike.
I'm such a moron.
How?
Just figuring things out, you know.
But you did.
Like, we have a... When we moved into the garage, we have what's called a split, which is a wall unit heater air conditioner. And it's 48 degrees here in Southwest Florida in the, oh, that's right, the worst winter we've ever had as far as like weather. Now, this is the home of where you fly away because you want 80 degree temperatures and sunshine and all that delightful stuff. And I'm here to tell you that this ain't the winter to do it. This is probably not the best time to come. For those of you who were disappointed at Christmas, looking like if you come down in late January, early February, you might. Now, if this results in fewer people, it won't. But they're
Mike,
all here.
It's safe to predict. And it's safe to predict it'll be warm in the summer.
And Mike, we're not having too bad of winter.
You're okay up there?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
I think the belly button, or what wouldn't be the armpit, would be a skin tag on the U.S. The belly button would be right in the middle.
It's funny you mention a dermatological situation today, since I will be off to the dermatologist today.
Our nation's capital may be, climate-wise, not South Carolina, but certainly not what it used to be.
Well, also, it's weird, because we had 1 week, one week had 80 degrees and then 3 inches of snow.
Yeah, but even the snow was not the worst snow.
It was a delightful snow.
I hate to talk about weather, but it's relevant to all of us. And by the way, that split unit, I would not say that is blistering me with skin-melting hot air now.
Takes some time.
It does.
It does?
Yeah. Sure. And you know what? You've never even fired up the heat before. Let it
I
work
have.
For
it's
a
just
second.
I don't think it's ever.
Well, you've never felt it work.
I have it on 86.
Yeah, it'll take some time to get this.
You'll be asleep by the time we finish the flip side.
Filled with carbon monoxide.
Somebody wake up Mike.
I'm such a... God, I can't even find the words. I'm such a Floridian when it comes to...
Well, yeah, you've been there for almost a decade. Yeah.
It's like 48 degrees, and I walk the dog today, and I go out, and it's brisk. It's actually different and refreshing, and it's like... bracing, and then as I continue to walk, I become older and older. And by the time we get to the little dog park where Winslow is going to do his business, I'm just going. And then I get in Carla's car because we have to keep the mileage
down. Yeah,
my life is so pathetic. We have to keep the mileage down on my car because I don't want to have a big fat lease charge, and I'm not taking it back early because a listener told me they're going to screw me if I do that.
Oh, they'll screw you regardless.
I put on all the great wintry accoutrement on Carla's massive luxury vehicle with heated seats, heated steering wheel. I put it on high in the front and the back of the SUV.
Yeah.
And by the time we get to Michael's school, we're practically in a sauna.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
It was delightful. And now I'm in here, and because my blood is so thin, I am feeling this air.
You're also 70 pounds lighter. You know, that makes a huge difference.
I don't know whether it does because I haven't been 70 pounds lighter.
It does.
It does.
It does. And job one, any radio station I ever worked in, if I worked with a man of larger carriage, he was always, always hot.
Yeah.
And I was always, always like, it is cold in here. How the hell are you hot?
That's
how you stay alert, Oscar.
Worst day.
Yeah, cold?
Yeah.
Or when warm lulls me to bed.
Yeah, you got to be cold to be. That's why Letterman kept his studio at like 58. Freezing. Yeah.
God, it makes sense. Makes sense.
I'm having a Diet Coke because I believe that certain beverages go better.
Great.
With opening review, food review segment.
May I set this up, please?
Oh, so it's a pairing.
I'll turn it over to Oscar Santana for the, what are we going to call it? Experiment, review, what is this segment going to be referred to
as? This is the world's greatest DJ excuse to eat fast food.
Ladies and gentlemen, I give you the world's greatest excuse to eat DJ fast food. Mac is so excited, he's stumbling all over the camera today.
I, for the better part of 30 years, have been a number one Big Mac full meal guy ever since I was a kid. Even when you could get kids' meals, I'd ask for a Big Mac. And my dad would give me the double eyebrow and say, "All right, sure, kid. I won't see you for another 3 months. Let's splurge."
But no toy then. You didn't get the toy in the hat.
I didn't care about toys. I just wanted the Big Mac.
Hey, look, it's Mac.
Hi, Mac.
And I got one. Look at him. It's right here. So when I heard that the double Big Mac was coming out, I tried to temper my excitement. We briefly touched on this on the bonus show, and 3 weeks ago we touched on it on the regular show. I said, when it comes out, I want Mike to be a part of this. I want Rod to be a part of this. I want the guys here on the show to be a part of this. And now we've got the double Big Mac. And as suggested, you go ahead and open yours up, Mac. I know you're excited. Please put some ketchup on if you'd like. I don't know how you guys take yours.
You're such a disc jockey, Rob, with the crinkling of the paper.
Mike, we have a video component now. Not everybody is watching the video.
I know.
Please use the napkins here. So
I don't have any.
They didn't include any?
Yo,
go ahead and take your bite, sir. I'll continue setting
up. My turn?
Yes, Mike first.
All right, here we go. I mean,
Double Big Mac is, as discussed, your regular Big Mac with two patties stacked of meat stacked on top of each other, where for where one patty was there before. And I take mine with ketchup, so I will put ketchup on mine as we speak.
I took mine as offered.
Yes, should.
And I will tell you, in all honesty, I'm not trying to make fake. Really, and I got it last night, and I kept it in the fridge, and then heated it up. It is really dry.
Now that's odd because I heard they were actually increasing the amount of sauce and maybe even altering the sauce.
This could be a lazy employee that jizzed it in the wrong part of the sandwich.
No, don't talk about that while we eat.
And that would actually not be a lazy employee. That would be a very active employee.
Why do you always have to one-up me?
Go ahead,
God,
Mac.
And you wrecked it. Let me make the joke for once in your lifetime. God.
Okay, go ahead, Mac, on your first bite review, if you don't mind.
I'm getting
on
so
microphone.
Many
yes, right get on microphone.
Still chewing.
Still chewing.
First off, not a big fan of the Big Mac. Prefer the double cheeseburger. This is pretty good.
Okay, all right.
I like the meat. It's just more meat, protein, and I like it.
Mike, he likes the meat.
Can I get a Celsius?
Look, the meat flavor of McDonald's beef, I mean, that is the key to the kingdom, right?
Right.
I never thought too much about the meat until now, so I'm excited. Rob, you go. I'll go
last. What is the caloric intake that I'm enjoying? Because I'm going to wreck my day.
This has got to be like 1,100.
Yeah. I'll say this. I warmed mine in a standard oven this morning, and the bread feels Panera hard. So I think that's going to be an issue a la Mike's with the dryness. But let us see.
Can I say something about the McDonald's Corporation as Rob is eating his burger?
Please.
I'm going to tell you that this... The addictive properties of McDonald's food, which, you know, I was going to come in here and take one bite.
Mm-hmm.
And here I am.
Oh, my God.
There is my sandwich.
You're halfway done.
I'm going to eat half of it.
Do you know what I think here, Oscar?
What's that?
I think the McDonald's Corporation has landed on the golden ratio.
Whoa.
I think, if anything, the Big Mac, and also not my go-to, have had quite a few in my day, but not my go-to.
Yes.
You know, is a little light on the meat based on the fact that you have an extra half a bun in the middle.
Agreement.
And all lettuce and all that stuff going on, and that's
agreement.
Fine.
Agreement. But, even with the dry, I'm on your side on this one.
This is a smart move. This will
good,
stay
this
on the menu.
This is a good burger, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. I can only imagine the way it tasted fresh.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
Jackson?
Yeah, so you're giving it a full, like, a Spiwak sign off.
Yeah. Big,
it is
big
so growing on me, as I can't stop eating it. I can't. I know it's McDonald's. They don't need our help. It is so good. It is so effing good. I'm sorry. It is. The ratio. Rob is a foodie, and he nailed the review. It's the ratio.
I just hit a pickle. What a joy.
They've taken what I considered an overrated product, and they made it sing.
Yeah.
The four patties. Now, you could probably, I don't think it would work if you took two quarter pounder burgers and put it on
that. No, too wide.
It works with the skinny little piled on top. It's, I love it.
You know what would go,
Mike, I love that.
What would go good with this is a fruit fritter.
I'm gonna have to get I need the calories because I literally will not be able to eat anything for the rest of the day.
All right. Make it last.
I'm gonna try. Now you're gonna have to.
I don't give a
Rob, it's all the calm is all yours. I'm gonna jump in now.
All right, please. I think that's the first time Mike has ever cussed with a mouthful of food. I think that was
Rob,
exciting.
It is so delicious.
It really is.
Because it's not overburdened with all that goo.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think that's the problem. It's, you know what? Fast food lettuce is usually a problem.
Because I knew there was a chance that this would happen, but I've done it. I can't. I'm eating it.
I can't stop eating it.
I can't stop. I can't stop eating it.
It's really good.
It is. So what is your take, really, Oscar? Good. Oscar took it with extra ketchup.
Where did Mac go?
Back
he passed
to the
away.
Producer room.
Mac is choking.
Guys.
I'm going to have to stop thinking about it. That's how good it is. I'm going to have to prevent myself from the rest of the week not rolling into McDonald's and getting another one.
What was your approach to purchasing the Big Mac? Because I picked mine up exactly at 9:30 p.m. last night, so it could be the shortest amount of window.
About an hour ahead of you.
Yeah. Got it. Okay.
I got mine this morning at 7:30.
Thank you for the reminder. Rob sent out a thing. Don't forget Burger Day. And I, you know, and I did the Napoleon.
Mike, you're going to be tickled to death when I tell you it only has 780 calories.
You're already winning. You're already winning.
Winning.
Add it. I didn't come in here expecting a rave. I'm sorry. It's fan effing tastic. Win-win. And as you said, I can't imagine what it must be like fresh.
Yeah.
We're having them reheated, all of them.
I imagine I'll know what it tastes. I think I'll know what it tastes like fresh this afternoon.
Oh, God.
When I go back.
Oh, you're going to go back? Oh, I thought you were making a poop joke.
No, Mike, dare you? It's not always that. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's the golden ratio.
This is really good.
It's the ratio. It's the ratio. You have that. The McDonald's original Big Mac, as popular as it's been over the years, was not. It was improved. They improved it.
They did.
Hail
to thee, Ray Kroc.
I haven't read anything. Are they getting positive reviews on it, or have you read any other reviews?
So I talked to her name was Christina, in Spanish last night when I ordered it because I was the only person in the McDonald's.
Did you go to our McDonald's?
In our building, yeah. I drove back to work. And I said, yeah, are these a lot of people ordering these? She goes, no.
Yeah, they're not. It's too good. Mickey D's will mess it up. They won't.
They're promoting it. It's on every billboard in front of her. She goes, recién salió, which means it just came out.
It's
they've got it. They've got signage at the store.
Yeah.
But it seems under-marketed, say, on television.
It's
I'm not
so
seeing it.
Yeah, I don't see enough commercials on television.
They
it's
need,
so good.
They should use this as their commercial.
Okay. This two burgers cost in the city, I think, $14. Two of these double Big Macs.
Right.
So $7 burger, right?
That's what I think I paid, yeah.
And what's a Five Guys burger cost? Like $10, $12?
Probably $12.
$12, right?
$12 for a
okay.
Burger.
You're getting a Five Guys like deluxe burger with the golden ratio, and I'm starting to agree with Rob. I thought he was overselling it, but he's right.
No, he's not. No, he's honest when it comes to food. He won't conjure when it comes.
No,
to
no.
Food.
This is. I was hesitant.
Yeah.
Because again, this is my
730 calories, Rob.
Yes. This is my go-to.
Okay, let me see what I have for my day now. Hold on, I'm just going to go back and check what I have.
You can have another one, Mike.
I can.
Yeah.
I could wait all day. There is an 85% chance
that will happen
today. I am so satisfied.
You'll say to your kid, be like, hey, do you want to have one of the greatest burgers of all time?
I am picking my son up this afternoon. At 4:30.
Yes.
I will not eat until then, and then I will say, hey, would you like to go to McDonald's, Michael? Bam. Boom, bam, as you said.
Yes.
Oscar, thank you for bringing this little tip to a I
Big
give
win.
Him one of the,
Big
one
win
of
for
the
everybody.
Better. Yeah, look, I think it's more engaging if you taste test something and you go, oh, my God, what are they doing? Mm. No, this one. There's just a. Did you? Is that why you brought this to us? Because you were so satisfied by this?
I hadn't had it.
But it
all
intrigued
of us,
you.
It intrigued me, and it was something that I knew the three of us could do.
What do you think? What's your review now?
So my review is one. Mike, thank you for not pulling a Ben and Jerry's and actually eating the ice cream before we taste test the ice cream.
Which is what Oscar's biggest concern was.
Yes.
Modern medicine prevents me.
God bless you.
Yeah.
Well, whatever's happening has definitely worked because we were
just like I tell people when I do the commercial. It's weight loss with no sit-ups. That's what's doing it. Thank you very much.
Remember, wait till 4:30 and you're good to go. That's the new motto.
I am so pleased.
In the past when I was younger, I would just have a Big Mac and one Big Mac would not satiate me. I'd have to have the large fries and the Diet Coke.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
This Big Mac alone, which I didn't get fries with, just the sandwich speaks for itself a day later. It's a day later and the sandwich still holds up. The burger still holds
fries,
up.
Let's be honest, and I can say because I have been on this program for a year that your French fries are your tummy fat bomb. That's what, if you want to know.
I didn't know
if you
that.
Know
I didn't
that
know
puts
that.
The, well, I mean, the whole thing can be bad, obviously.
Yeah.
Fast food, you don't want to eat this every day.
Yeah,
but you eat just the Sammy, and you're going to be, you know, it's what Rob said. We were both very surprised at that.
Yeah.
But if you load up a large fry, mm-hmm. at least in my world, that takes me over. Well, look it up, Rob. What's a? I can do it right now. A large fry.
Well, it's not so much the large fry.
Let's put the calories aside for 2 seconds.
All right.
Okay. For two.
Hard for me to do.
I get that. I get that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm saying that the meal would satiate me when I was a younger man.
Right.
This sandwich is so good. I'm sorry. This burger is so good. This new Big Mac, the double Big Mac is so good. Just the double Big Mac a day later is completely satiating.
I
can't imagine being in the restaurant and getting the fries and the double Big Mac. That's a win.
Well, you might. That's a lot of food. That is a lot of food.
Yeah, especially if you add like a chocolate sundae and some apple pies. That's a lot of food.
Now you're making me want to throw up. You are with that. But Look, I think that, and it's just a, it is a food satisfaction bomb, in my opinion.
So good. It goes great right golden ratio. Fantastic.
All the things you would love about a
nice
Big Mac,
even.
Doubled. Redoubled, yeah.
And by the way, when you order this,
oh dear.
When you order this sandwich, this burger, my vision was, I swear to God, when Oscar tasked us all with grabbing this, I expected I was going to get a box that was that
a mile high.
You
know? Like a top hat box.
Because these microscopic patties that they put on their regular cheeseburgers are teeny tiny. So it's just a, you know, it's a good thing. And now I've got Diet Coke and something I don't eat before midnight. Sorry about that.
Hello, America.
Oscar, know that that burp is a big thumbs up.
It's the burp. Well, in certain cultures, it's a sign of telling the chef that they've provided a great meal.
You should go burp at your McDonald's and let them know they did
found
a good
that
job.
Culture.
Yeah. And they, by the way, they were fantastic last night. I went into the drive-thru and I said, double Big Mac, that's it. And she goes, this was the exchange. No, this is how little verbiage was used. All right, so it came on.
I'll do the whole thing.
Okay.
Please.
All right, I'll do the whole thing for you right now. This is exactly what happened.
Mike pulls into his McDonald's.
What kind of McDonald's? What can I get you?
Double Big Mac. That's it.
Second window.
Boom.
I got what a question always makes me feel bad is I said, double Big Mac. And they said, sandwich only? And I said,
yes, see?
Sandwich only. Yes,
I got no burden of upselling. Yeah. And by the way, have they moved away from the automated recording that always says, will you be using our app today? Which I have never installed
gone.
A McDonald's app on my
That's
phone.
That's gone.
No, but it
does pay you back.
Move up to the second window, please.
Oscar says it does pay
the
you
app
back.
The app does.
Let's go to our regular Mac McDonald's user of the app.
Matt, go ahead.
Yeah, so the app constantly has deals where I can get a double cheeseburger and six-piece nuggets for like $3.
You want to start again with that? Because it sounded like you said six-piece nuggets.
I mean, they constantly have different things you can get
Dr.
for
Dre's
much lower
Beats Nuggets.
Price. One thing I will find from finding out on the app is that fries cost, like a large fry costs like $5, and a large drink costs the same as a medium. Never get a medium drink. Always get a large. It is the exact same price.
Okay. All right. So you're telling me it's worth it, Mac. We didn't get your review of the sandwich. What do you think?
Oh, it's great. Yeah. I said this earlier, but
have you
I'm
had
not a
one
fan
before
the...
before the experiment? Have you had one?
No. Okay. No, I have not. I've actually only had two Big Macs in my life.
You're not a bit. You don't like the special sauce.
I do.
Oh, you do.
I asked for the special sauce on a double cheeseburger.
Really?
So you know what he hates, Mike? The boy hates lettuce.
I don't like lettuce.
Yeah, gotta be.
Well, I mean,
and I don't like that bread in the middle either.
In a land long ago, far, far away, Rob and I had a discussion about shredded lettuce that went on and on and on.
Yeah, it was almost a whole show.
I've talked to people that prefer shredded lettuce. I think shredded lettuce is horrible. I think the shredded lettuce was designed to stretch lettuce.
Yes,
I like a leaf of lettuce on anything. If it's lettuce, put a leaf of lettuce. Don't give me the shredded stuff. And the worst example of shredded lettuce would be if you get it on a Jersey Mike sub. It's like getting an, you know, you're not getting a sandwich, you're getting an Easter basket. And I don't care for it. So
I don't know, Mike. I think that the shredded lettuce is at most acceptable on a Jersey Mike sub because if you get the oil and vinegar, you need the lettuce to hold it in.
No, you don't.
It's structurally, it's part of it.
It's
I think
not,
it
I
is.
Can't stand
but you might get, do you get mayonnaise or do you get oil and vinegar?
I get mayo and why are we moving into another fast?
Has anybody ever. I don't think in my life have I ever not eaten. I have never consumed the McDonald's within a good, well, at least an hour window of purchasing it. This is the first time I've ever had something overnight sitting in the fridge.
The fries, of course, would not hold up, but the burger did fine in the refrigerator.
Yeah.
Overnight.
Mm-hmm.
I'm very
what did you get an emergency quarter pounder?
Mm-mm.
To knock the edge off, Rob?
I got an emergency double cheeseburger, so Mac would be proud. Yeah.
Oh, so you did when you went to get yours, you got another sandwich.
Yeah.
Yeah. The old me would have. The old me could not have driven through that drive-thru to buy a product to hold in the refrigerator overnight at 8:30 at night. It wouldn't have happened. And I got the text from you. I don't know what time you sent it out.
Around 8.
Right around 8. I'm like, I do the Napoleon.
You know, it's funny.
But I wanted to be part of this, so I had to go out and grab it.
People say that one of the weaknesses of texting is it doesn't carry attitude or intent. It's very cold. But when Mike said, and I believe the text was.
I'll bring up the thread.
There was one sentence that you said that made me say, oh, he is not happy right now. It was so clear to me when you wrote, do I just ask for a four patty Big Mac? I'm going to run out now. And that was at 8:12 p.m. I said, oh, he is not happy. Yeah. What do I ask for? How do I get it?
The valid question.
It was. And then two responses right away.
Yeah. Let's see. Yeah. So let's see. 8:30 a.m. tomorrow, please. Please. See you then. And don't forget, Oscar writes at 8:08, don't forget about the Big Mac four patty taste test tomorrow. That's what you should have called it at the beginning. It sounded bigger. The Big Mac four patty taste test. 8:30 a.m. tomorrow, please, please. I said, see you then. And then I read that at 8:08 and I go,
what were you doing when you got the text? Were you viewing your computer?
My feet were up. My feet were up, and I had just turned on. I'll give my TV reco since we have time in the opening.
Yeah.
I had just turned on Griselda on Netflix. And
I've seen a lot of ads for it.
Instantaneous like. It has not disappointed me one iota since. I am on, am I at the conclusion? I think I made it halfway through the second episode, and she's just talented. She's got talent coming out of
Sophia
her pores.
Sophia Vergara?
She's gorgeous. I said, do I just ask for the four patty Big Mac? I'm going to run out now. Ah. And then Mac immediately, because he knows and cares, double Big Mac. And I did. Yeah. And it worked. You can eat. And then Rob says, ask for a double Big Mac. And it's Rob Rob, this is why we always tell Rob, cut down copy, because Rob says, ask for a double Big Mac, and it is on the menu. You'll see it in the drive-thru. Thank you for adding two sentences that were completely unnecessary.
My apologies for helping out.
No, Mac just wrote, double Big Mac.
Mm-hmm.
That was
you
all
see,
the
but you would be equal. You know
you
what?
You are overly verbose. You always have been.
Sometimes if someone were to say something short, you would say, that's it? That's all you say? That's
You're
it.
You're probably
more?
Right. My history with text communications, probably. But I was just in this particular circumstance. You have to give the nod to Mac for efficiency. Do you not?
I agree. Well, this is what happens when you live on the McDonald's app. You understand how to communicate the product.
He knows exactly what we're going to
exactly.
Get. So, Oscar, you've downed a good chunk of yours now.
I'm done.
Yeah.
You're done. And you give it a thumbs up as well. This will be
wonderful.
You're the Big Mac guy. You love them anyway. Improved or not improved? From the
improved.
Original. Yeah.
Oh, way improved.
My logic was, if you're going to take your family out and you're five guys or this premium burger family,
yeah,
save some cash and take them and get a double Big Mac.
If I can just the overwhelming review is positive from the Michael Mara show.
It's a premium burger now.
All thumbs up. All thumbs up from the. Sorry, I got it's the Diet Coke.
My
I apologize.
God.
Yeah,
Mac, may I please have another Celsius, please, and some napkins or wet naps,
absolutely.
Please.
Thank you. And the paddles.
Well,
I could eat another one of these.
I would not
stop.
Oh yeah.
I have to say something. I do not eat like this anymore, and so it is a very. just bear with me for the rest of the show.
Oh my God!
God knows what Terzipatide will be doing during this segment, but I will say this: speaking about the new Sofia Vergara project, Griselda on Netflix, it is
Griselda Blanco, right? That's a
Griselda
biopic.
Blanco, notorious drug dealing cartel head.
It means white Griselda.
That's her name was Griselda.
Yeah, so, Blanco last name.
Blanco was her last name. This, when I say she's talented, Narcos was, I think, the gold standard for providing content fully bilingual, where you would get just as much, if not more, Spanish speaking than you would get with great subtitling, and subtitling that's done so efficiently and so beautifully that it's easy to follow along for non-Spanish speakers. And they have picked up on this with Griselda and a fluent Spanish speaker from Colombia, Sofia Vergara. And there's old Medellin. That's where it starts,
yeah,
Oscar.
I know.
You know,
it's tough.
And I
tough
will
for my new home base.
This is like so many comic actresses that I think if you have the ability to do comedy, you usually have no problem slipping into drama. And she creates already. And I look, I hope it lasts. I hope she sustains it. She creates already without her actions. Just her acting, a sinister quality that is phenomenal. I mean, that's how good I think she is in this. She creates that, and I am all in. And then, as a dude who loves Sofia Vergara for the reason a lot of dudes do, she still has that just natural beauty that comes through, but she's not playing a beauty queen anymore, or the eye candy for Ed O'Neill. She is playing a kingpin, and she
Mentioned, did she have like, does she wear like a prosthetic nose or
she
something?
She appears to have, if we get, Mac, can we get a picture of Griselda up there? There should be a cover page.
The new one from Netflix.
And then if we can do that, I can show you what I'm talking about, which appears to be prosthetic nose makeup that she wears. Very subtle but noticeable, where you look in that, well, that's not really that. You have to do a double take, which is the best kind of makeup in the world, where you go, is that really Sofia Vergara? And Sofia Vergara is great. I just cannot wait to watch this story develop because she's so engaging. So there I am.
Series,
I'm giving it a rave,
like,
and I've only seen an episode and a half.
I'm guessing 8 episodes, probably.
I don't know. I don't even know.
What about True Detective?
Look at that.
So there she is.
Oh, yeah. She doesn't look like Sofia Vergara.
And you know what? So often, they will take these.
That might be the nose from Maestro with Bradley Cooper.
You mean... He had the prosthetic nose makeup. Did he?
Oh, yeah.
Yes,
yeah.
Did he?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, it was a big deal. It was a big deal, yeah.
But this is it's great. I think it's fantastic, and I think she does a great job. I'm looking forward to watching them all. I'll binge them. She's really, really, really talented. So onward and upward for her. But great transition into something she's not done
good
before.
For her.
I love it.
Yeah,
I will check it out. I've been holding out. But I'm all caught up on True Detective, 3 episodes in, with Jodie Foster.
Interesting, right?
Season.
A little weird.
Weird
is the understatement. Yeah.
Oh my God!
Supernatural meets true crime detective stuff. It's you can't pigeonhole it, can you? You can't really pigeonhole what's
going
on.
This is the third season of True Detective, right?
I have no idea.
Iteration?
I know Woody Harrelson, and there was a previous incarnation. I don't know if this is third or fourth.
Have they addressed the supernatural in the past, or is this a new?
No, this is in
pretty
fairness,
rarefied air for that show.
The one season where they had the voodoo in Louisiana.
Yeah, that was Matthew McConaughey and Woody Harrelson, I think.
Yes, but there is a voodoo aspect to this.
And here's where True Detective lasts as a
devil
franchise.
Devil worshipping.
I think that what you get, Oscar, with this is the one common thread that all these miniseries have had. Just really scary. Just really, really scary. Really manages.
Can't
to
watch it with your if you got a 13-year-old that's jumping, you can't watch it with them. They will freak the F out.
It is freaky.
Is it scarier than Jodie Foster in Naiad?
When you watch it, Rob, it'll be so off-putting to you. You'll probably stop watching.
I'll probably not like it. Yeah.
Why will it be off-putting to Rob? I'm curious.
As soon as he sees the scene in the frozen tundra of, you know, that scene of somebody essentially.
Yeah.
Spoiler alert.
No. There's multiple scenes, but this one scene, and then
the closing scene, right?
And then the ice skating rink.
Yeah. It's
oh, yeah, no,
you're probably right, Oscar.
That's when he's going to say, like, what's on Turner Classic Movies?
I don't like The Unpleasant. Sometimes I do. I don't know. I'll give it a shot.
Do you ever go for, like, just besides the classics, and don't mention any classics here, but right. Do you like a good horror movie?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
What's the most recent suspenseful thriller you think you like?
Oh, God. That's a tough question.
A feature film, not a series.
I'll tell you this. Anytime I see it, I will always stop on the Jodie Foster.
Silence of the Lambs?
Yeah, I will always stop on
that. Yeah, it's a phenomenal film.
I think that's
film.
A brilliant film. It's so well done.
Yeah, and, Oscar-winning horror movie.
Suspense movies, yeah, you know what? That's a good thing for me. Suspense, mystery, all that stuff. I like that. I like the darkness, but the unpleasantness, the outward unpleasantness sometimes is off-putting. So you're probably right, Oscar. We'll see.
Listen, we have to go to break, but I will tell you this, that I know that I'm responsible for selling certain products on this show. So please, you don't need to keep this in your memory banks, but let's go to break right now. And I just want to share with the guys that there's a reasonable chance I'm going to throw up before the end of the show.
Stay tuned.
I am telling you, it's like, oh my God, the bomb is just dropped.
The fuse is lit.
That's just a lot of calories that I'm not used to eating at one time. We'll be right back, everybody. Hey, don't reinvent yourself for 2024. Just rehydrate yourself with Liquid IV. Liquid IV hydrates 2 times faster than water alone, all in a single delicious stick. I was playing golf with a buddy of mine over the weekend, and I gave him a stick because I keep my golf bag loaded with the stuff.
Yeah.
And it was instant love because of the flavor. No sugar, by the way. No artificial sweeteners. You can feel like a hydrated new you, ready to take on 2024. Liquid IV has 3 times the electrolytes of the leading sports drinks, plus 8 vitamins and nutrients for everyday wellness, and it tastes so good. And it's so easy. By the way, if you really want to stack Liquid IV up against other sports drinks, the flavor to me is vastly superior. It really is. Just add it to your water bottle, shake it up and go. Try white peach, green grape, or my favorite lemon lime. That's what's in the golf bag. I love them all, and you will too. Make it a Liquid IV 2024 and be the best that you can be. Rehydrate yourself for the new year. Grab your Liquid IV Hydration Multiplier sugar-free in bulk nationwide at Costco, or get 20% off your first order when you go to liquidiv.com and use our code TMOS at checkout.
There it is. Look, the Kraken is throwing up.
Look at that.
I want to be clear. The only reason Mike feels nauseous is because of his weight loss meds.
It's not that.
Yeah, it's not because of the food.
It's just it's the feeling of fullness you get from this stuff. So when you're really full, let me just say, remember that 85%? Yeah. I'll get it at 4:30 this afternoon. It's gone to 30 right now. It's gone to 30%.
Did you ever use Chantix? Did any of you ever use Chantix?
You mean the cigarette?
It was a smoking one, right?
Yeah. Carla did. I never did. I never had trouble quitting smoking.
So. The way I understand Chantix worked was in a similar way, where it basically would make you feel
nauseous. If you were going to smoke a cigarette.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it gave you horrible nightmares, too.
But this is for food.
Yeah. Yeah. It's
they have
not
pills
sick.
Like that for alcohol
no?
as well.
Overwhelmingly full. Really, like, and at 8:30, when, you know, the odds, I eat usually rarely before 11 a.m. every day.
Oh.
That's what I do.
Wow.
So this is, I ate my protein bars prior to coming in here. So I'm going, let's begin, shall we? I don't know if you have this or not, Rob, but it was a biggie. Kanye West lost it on a TV reporter.
Yeah,
a TMZ
seems
reporter.
So nice. I don't understand this.
He's out of his gore. He's such a bully prick.
I know.
He snatched her phone. It all started. Do you have this, by the way?
I do. I do have the audio if you like.
The audio. I don't want the audio. I want the video. So if you don't have the video, don't worry about it.
All right.
It all started with a report claiming that Kanye had banned his wife, Bianca Censori, from social media, supposedly for her own protection. Yesterday, Kanye's walking down Hollywood Boulevard on his way to the Walk of Fame ceremony for singer Charlie Wilson, and the reporter asked Kanye if his wife has free will. Kanye grabbed her phone away from her and started cussing her out. He repeatedly called the question dumbass S and also referred to himself as a legend and a grown-ass superhero. Now, there are two videos out there, one from the reporter's perspective where you hear the audio, and then there's another one that was just shot by another TMZ person that has a great view of that. I really wish, guys, we'd be on stuff like that and have it, because it really would be great to see that, because
can
you get the whole thing.
Can I hear what we have just to get that one perspective?
You can hear,
I
okay.
I have no
right,
perspective
play,
on
and
this.
I just don't know why we don't have the video, but go ahead, play the
hey, play Kanye. The clip. People want to know if Bianca has her free will. Some people are saying you're controlling her.
What do you think? Yeah. Can you, a white woman, you can walk up on me like that and ask me some dumb
grabs your
like
phone
that?
And then you're seeing
asking
it
me on my wife. Talking about, does she get free will? Are you crazy? You ain't saying this is America. You got free will? You work for TMZ company? I'm a legend. You understand that? I'm here to support Charlie Wilson. You come to ask me some dumb
all right, about that's
my wife.
It. You can kill that.
Charlie Wilson.
So he berated her. He was at a Hall of Fame thing, Walk of
oh,
Fame
got it. Yeah,
thing for Charlie Wilson. Kanye berated her for over 3 minutes before offering to pay her twice what she makes from TMZ. He's just a dick.
And the whole time he did it, he was in a full face-covered mask.
Yeah.
It was just, it was weird.
I'm tired of his crap. I really am. I'm tired of him getting away with that. That was just, look, you're a celebrity. You're walking out on the street. People are, you know, it happens to every large scale celebrity.
Well, this isn't new news. This is also another, oh God. It's another vague and like secondary verification that his mental health is not correct.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
That's true,
yeah.
Oscar.
And,
yeah.
Right.
You know, yeah. And I don't know which is more significant, the fact that he grabs the phone and raves out on her, or the fact that he's wearing a full fledged, like, Mumenschantz mask.
The mask all the time, it's just so confusing to me.
So
well, he's
stupid.
A superhero, Mike.
He's a. Boy, that just really, you know, this is the look, are they bottom feeders, the TMZ people? There
sure.
are no greater bottom feeders in our society than those paparazzi people for TMZ. They're scumbags. But at the same time, what do? You're a celebrity. You know the book. You know how to handle it.
That's
you've
the price
done
to
it
pay,
plenty
yeah.
of time. You walk. You keep walking. You don't do what you did. And he makes that kind of bottom feeder look sympathetic. Which blew me away. I couldn't yeah. believe that. Ever since the Chiefs punched their ticket to the Super Bowl on Sunday, there's been talk that Taylor Swift might join Usher during the halftime show. According to the aforementioned TMZ, this ain't happening. Taylor will not be performing in any capacity. I didn't think she would.
No.
She'll just be there as a fan, if she gets there, to cheer on Travis Kelce. Now, there's a rumor going around that Taylor won't even make it to Vegas, which is plausible if she's going to be in Japan. She's doing last of four straight shows in Tokyo the night before the game. Tokyo, 17 hours ahead of Vegas. So when the concert ends, it'll probably be around 5 or 6 a.m., Saturday, Vegas time. So that's, you know, a day to get there.
Yeah.
It only takes about 11 or 12 hours to fly from Tokyo to Vegas, especially if you're doing it private. So there's no issue with Taylor getting there. She'll even have all of Saturday night to rest up before the game. I love people talking like, yeah, like they're her parent or something.
Yeah. Get some rest, dear.
Has either of you churned your... not anger, but...
Turned on her a little bit?
No, not... You were... Kind of, and not, you're not, this is not unique to most football fans,
yeah,
unfortunately, right now.
Mm-hmm.
They're like, all right, make it about the game, not about the celebrity.
I felt that way until I saw what appeared to be, and maybe I'm gullible, two crazy kids in love.
They're in love.
After the game.
Yes.
And then I went from feeling like, I have no bone to pick with Travis Kelce and Taylor Swift.
Yes.
They're negotiating this very unusual romance the best way they can. My issue is with the constant shots of her in the stands, yeah, which I think have contributed to this negative fan yeah. reaction that they're getting, and including me, where I was saying, okay, enough. That was not directed at Taylor Swift and Travis
no.
Kelce. That was directed
at... The broadcast at
it. Yeah. Okay, enough,
yeah,
please. When they had that little moment, and she's down there all kind of, disheveled from jumping up and down and running. And he gives her that hug. That is a legitimate I love you hug and a great moment. And I think that I might be like a lot of other people where I kind of hope it works for him with all
yeah.
the stuff.
Yeah, I don't blame them either. I do feel that the only sinister thing at play is the way the networks are exploiting it.
Okay.
And I also feel the NFL is probably making, you could certainly urge them to show a little Taylor Swift.
It's been quantified in the dollars that she's generated, the revenue she's generated for the NFL.
Right.
This was in Bloomberg. 343. Well, somebody's done the math.
Right.
They say that they an earned media, just sheer attention, which then turned into women purchasing, you know, Chiefs jerseys, anything. $343 million in earned media this season. That's one figure. The second is, and this comes secondhand, and I shall not name the source.
Okay.
And this is where Mike probably turns on everybody, America, is we had a theory on how much or how Taylor Swift and their crew acquire a luxury box in stadium in America.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I had thought, you know, and walk through, you know, the logic that, okay, is it Capital One or is it Visa that's going to just get her the box? Because they probably have a box in every stadium in the country.
Right.
Or is she actually paying for these?
Okay.
And then I secondhand heard that from a friend, and this is not, this again is all alleged.
Okay.
But it
you
makes
don't know
100%, sense.
But it might be.
I know the friend that his law firm has a box at M&T Stadium. And multiple law firms do as law firms would, Mike. You know that.
Mm-hmm.
And a memo went out from Taylor Swift's camp, not directly, but through that camp, that said if anyone is willing to give up their box for the Swift camp, there was a $500,000 bounty on it.
That doesn't, I mean, I can see that being plausible.
Yeah. Right?
Okay. A $500,000 could buy you not just a season, but maybe a couple seasons, depending on the actual franchise.
Mm-hmm.
So do you
for
think it's
one
BS?
Game, what do you do, Mike O'Mara? You own that box
in a heartbeat. I sell it.
Yeah,
but you're a fan. You're a diehard fan of the Ravens.
There's no team that is that valuable to me.
Okay,
especially when I can see the results.
Yeah.
Fair.
Does being the $500,000, does it include touchdown brownies?
What are touchdown brownies?
That's something that Sonny Jurgensen always used to talk about.
Touchdown brownies.
I want to thank Sarah whatever from Blake for the touchdown brownies.
Delicious touchdown brownies.
Because
I do it.
You're okay, maybe Red Sox. The Red Sox. If we lived in Boston
at a championship game and you know, look, I think that it's the, as your favorite term, juice worth the squeeze. If you're talking about something that cost you $30,000, maybe $200K, if it's, but I don't, and you get one opportunity to eradicate that just by having Swifty and then tell your friends that she came, I think why not? Go for
also,
it. Do you believe it? Do you think it's true?
I wanted to believe that it wasn't until I started digging a little further, and I was like, oh, this has happened many of times where they have bought, not they, but the Mahomes and the whole like the
popped
Chiefs,
for a suite.
But because they're going to another stadium. It's on a regular basis this happens.
So the big money people come in and just pay for it.
They just pay for it.
Yeah. I bet the guy who sold the box for $500,000 still got to go, though. One ticket for him.
Yeah, probably.
That makes it even better.
Or if you've got a kid, be like, hey, you guys can have this, but I got to be there with my daughter.
Yeah.
Right.
She's got to meet whatever it is.
Wouldn't you love to know? I'd love to know.
Yeah.
That's just the pure fanboy curiosity of me to see whether that would happen or not. I think it's very plausible. And, what could they do with that money, though? Man, how many lotto tickets could you buy? moving right along, you can watch that documentary, The Greatest Night in Pop, on Netflix now. Here are 10 facts. This might spoil it, but I think it's interesting. 10 facts about that night that might whet your appetite. Number one, Harry Belafonte started it all. Number two, Michael Jackson and Lionel Richie avoided any dated expressions when they wrote the song. You know, like "Right On" or "Yo Dog." They wanted to make sure the lyrics were timeless. And that isn't clever. That sense of history to know
we are the world.
Number three, it was recorded after the 1985 American Music Awards. That's how they got everybody there.
I always thought it was the Grammys. That's surprising to me. So
American Music Awards. Prince was supposed to be there, but he no-showed. People seem to think it was because of his rivalry with Michael Jackson, and also it just didn't fit his brand. He was at a Mexican restaurant.
Naturally.
I love facts like that when it all went down. Number five, my favorite fact out of the whole story here. Madonna, not invited. Apparently, some of the organizers felt she wasn't a good enough singer.
Oh.
Wow. Well, if this is 1985, she had not yet become the pop icon. So, yeah, right. I can see that.
They went with Cyndi Lauper instead. Sources say it broke Madonna's heart that they didn't include her on that.
Oh, that's sad.
Number six, you might wonder why Dan Aykroyd was there. Well, he took part in it by accident. He just happened to be talking to a talent manager that day, and the guy invited him to the recording session. And that's how Dan Aykroyd showed up, Bass-O-Matic, at the
that's great.
At the joint. Bob Dylan was there, and he almost had a nervous breakdown. He got all stressed out trying to figure out how to sing his part when all they wanted for him to do was Dylan. You know, they just wanted Bob Dylan. Yeah. Place he
There's
got to.
A choice we're making.
Yeah, you know, about 400 people go in there and be Dylan. Eddie Murphy missed his chance to be there. Eddie was at Stevie Wonder's studio recording his single "Party All the Time."
Great record.
What a hit.
Stevie asked him to come over, but he declined. When he realized that he'd passed it up, he felt like a complete idiot. I can get that.
Yeah.
Not everybody liked the song. Billy Joel claims they all hated it, but nobody was willing to say so.
That's funny.
We Are the World, a huge success, as you know now. It spent 4 weeks at number one. One of the better intros in pop music, in my humble opinion.
Just a great
dramatic intro. The intro of the song was better than the song itself. The intro created the largesse of that particular record. World hunger, I believe.
It was. It's weird because as big of a hit as it was, you never hear it. Like if you were to listen to the 80s on 8 on Sirius XM.
Yeah.
You would never hear it.
They should play it more.
They should. And it's a curio. I mean, with all the great voices in it, it's worth hearing. Yeah.
It spent 4 weeks at number one, went quadruple platinum within a month, went on to sell 7 million copies, and helped raise $63 million, which is pretty good.
I don't want to steer this the wrong way. I want to be clear here. When I said, were we fighting famine? I didn't want to be flip. I clearly understand.
As you recall,
my father made me stand in a corner one time because he got back from Somalia or is it Ethiopia?
Could be either country, both have starvation.
And he said, who threw away half this apple? And I was like, maybe it was 10 years old or something like that. And I said, oh, that was me. Like I didn't like it. It was a little bitter. And he said, and he made me read all this literature about famine, and he made me stand in a corner for like 6 hours until my knees buckled. It was
six.
Wild.
It wasn't 6 hours.
Felt like forever, but my knees buckled. I remember crying.
Yeah,
in the living room, and my mom came down. And she said, "That's enough."
Your old man was like, just to kind of like, I bet you never forgot that lesson, did you?
Oh no, that's why I just had PTSD from just being flip about famine.
Yeah,
and I had to explain to you why I actually care about people starving.
Since that day, have you ever...
When a certain young man gets threatened with being kicked off character council because of his recent behavior in school, I like to channel your old man a little bit, and I may have done it last night.
Oh,
so I'm all in. Yes, sir. Yeah.
Oscar, since that day, have you ever eaten an apple?
All right. Thank you. Finally, this is not shticky, but I'll just lay it out on you. It's emotional intelligence, defined as the ability to perceive and evaluate feelings accurately in ourselves and others. How do you know if you need to work on those skills? Well, if you use any of the following phrases, it might be a sign that you have a low emotional IQ. This is interesting. I'm not changing. That's number one. This is who I am. People that have low emotional intelligence are stuck in their ways and refuse to evolve. Instead, try, I want to be open to feedback, even when it's hard to hear. Oscar and I are having a moment right now. Number two, I don't care how you feel. If you disregard other people's feelings, you most likely have low emotional intelligence. Try this instead. I'm sorry you're feeling upset. How can I help? That's the they're giving you
that could also come off as condescending.
It can.
That really can.
Yeah. Number three, here's the quote. It's your fault I feel this way. No. I don't say that because I don't believe it, and it's a horrible thing to say.
If
you have strong emotional intelligence, you don't blame others for your feelings. Try this instead. I'm feeling emotional right now. Here's why. It's just the way you express. Emotional IQ seems to be about semantics more and more the more articles like this.
A therapist once told me the emotion is temporary. What you do about it is what you should think
is
about.
Is enduring.
That's what it is. Yeah. Temporary and then enduring. So
Mike, were you the therapist? Are you sad?
No. He was my translator.
I've been to enough therapy.
Thank you.
You know, my standard one that resonated with me was you can never get enough of what won't satisfy you, which is one of the greatest things ever sent to me.
Mine is this Big Mac.
Mine is finish the apple.
Number four. when you say you're just wrong. That's just totally punting. Emotionally intelligent people focus more on understanding each other's experience and recognizing nuance. I have become so much better at nuance because of my relationships politically down here.
Yeah.
Because I am in such a small minority of people, and they never fail to try to engage me. And so sometimes I engage, sometimes I don't, but I always try to handle it. And that you're forced to raise your emotional IQ because you don't get anywhere if you don't. You want to try this instead of saying you're just wrong. I want to hear your perspective, even when I don't see things the way you do. Can you help me understand why you're feeling this way? You know, it seems like it's trite, but it's not. I really do believe if you say that to people, it immediately calms the situation down. You know, it really works
for me until I start explaining macroeconomics and what a soft landing is. And then their eyes glaze over and they're like, things are terrible. I said, but they won't be.
Yeah.
And they won't be because of Bidenomics. And then they're like, oh, they're another buzzword. And I'm like, all right, we're not going to fight about it. Let's just drink.
I will share with you a totally low IQ moment, emotional IQ moment that I had where it resulted in the biggest conflict in recent memory that I've had politically with somebody, and it was out on the golf course, and it lit this guy's candle who had a very low emotional IQ. And I said, you are just being totally brainwashed. And it was as though I lit a fuse into his brain. He exploded. I mean, it was F you. And, you know, it's because I completely disrespected him with my response that he wasn't able to think clearly on his own. So if you're ever dealing with somebody from an opposite political belief system, if you say they're brainwashed, you're going to light their candle, even though I firmly believe that on both sides we're all brainwashed. We all kind of believe what we believe, and we want to be believing it, and we want to get that ingrained into our souls. I'm not saying that I disagree with my point of view. I'm saying that we reinforce the way we feel more than we ever have. You know,
because technology is also allowing for that.
Yeah,
there is a level of. So I'm pulling out every day when I pull out. I'm just gonna, next time I'll just give you my address. I'm sure it's out there. I see the Ukrainian embassy every effing day when I come to work. Like, it is at the corner of M Street and 34th. And it hits me, and I don't talk about it here on the show because we don't want to make it political. We won't be political. I get that. We get that.
Sometimes when we have to be, we are.
Yeah, I mean, we're not going to ignore certain things, but I'm just like, I can't believe, like this morning, I said, I can't believe we haven't like fully committed to this.
Yeah. This democracy saving endeavor.
Democracy that
in
like
Europe.
It's
incredible.
You know, what's the hold up here?
And if you're ever talking to somebody about that particular issue, if you're ever dealing with emotional IQ to start with, if you want to raise yours, look a person square in the eye, because eye contact is always really, really important. And you look at them and you say, I know you are, but what am I? That's what you want to do. That's what I do, and it works.
Wasn't that from your therapist, Francis Buxton?
Francis Buxton from Pee-wee's Big Adventure. All right, we're going to take a break and come back with Divorce Month on the Mike O'Mara Show. Hey, everybody. Hark! Fair denizens of the realm, attend to this proclamation of import. Verily, the esteemed TMOS store hath undergone a transformation in its stewardship, and lo, she is better than gold. Social interaction, swift dispatch of wares, and the exchange of online gratitude mark this new era. But hark, there is more. Attend to my words and trust me in the days hence, for hats are forthcoming. Keep thy gaze upon TMOSstore.com and spread the gospel of TMOS. Lay claim to thine TMOS regalia and lend thy support to the cherished show. Every purchase ensures the mirth shall endure. TMOSstore.com, the font of all things TMOS, official, authentic, and truly awesome. We express gratitude for thy support as we recall our motto, Herr Robert of Spiewak.
If you don't buy it, we won't sell it.
Thank you.
Perfect.
Thank you very much.
Good job on a cold read, Mike.
Thank you. Yeah, the man writes for me every day. It's exciting. You have information on Divorce Month, is that
well,
correct?
Well, it is today, January 30th. It's the penultimate day, good word, the penultimate day of January, and we're all still married, so that's good.
All right.
But January is sometimes called Divorce Month because it is when lawyers see the biggest uptick in divorce proceedings. Did you know this?
I didn't know that. I always thought, well, my relationship.
When did yours happen?
Mine relation.
Summer divorces? Or spring?
Oh, it's so nice in the summer.
I would wrap it up at the beginning of the summer. But my real knowledge of the circumstances was right around the Thanksgiving holiday.
A lot of pressure around the holidays. Do you think that added to it?
I don't know.
Okay.
Yeah, there's from a man who's still married and has not gone through his first divorce, which I hope not to ever.
Right.
Is in my previous breakups, there was a decision made around the holidays early on in my mind, not even fiscally warranted, but more like, do I want to deal with this for one more Christmas? Or do I have the heart to do this before Christmas?
Do you have the guts to do it before?
Do I have the, I'm sorry, not the heart, the guts, right?
To pull the Band-Aid off.
Yeah. And if you look at my past relationships, they happened like right around the holidays. And I remember explaining to my niece and nephew through two breakups when they were like asking about Auntie so-and-so.
Oh, dear. Auntie. Tia.
Look, I think that this would be natural because we are getting into right now, January, February, the doldrums. And throw it into my world where probably my most painful, they were both painful. What am I talking about? But my most painful loss was losing my father. And that happened at Super Bowl time, beginning of February. And I always feel as though not only was I going through that in my life, but it was also, it's such a meh time.
Horrible.
It really is.
You don't just roll into a divorce. Like, you have to plan this out. And this,
well, it's funny you should bring this up, Oscar. I will say that there is a 25% spike in divorces in the month of January. And these are some warning signs you can look at to find out whether or not your partner is considering a divorce.
Red alert.
Red alert. Red alert. Red alert. Three red flags. First of all, you notice that their spending habits change. Lawyers have something called spousal support analysis to figure out alimony, especially if one person brings in most of the money. So with that in mind, if their client needs support, they might tell them to go out and shop more, so it looks like their lifestyle is what they've become accustomed to. So if you see a spike in spending, they could be planning the divorce.
That is terrifying.
Isn't it horrifying?
Yeah. I just had a flashback.
God.
Oh, really?
Well, yeah. I've told the story about going to a marriage counselor and having the marriage counselor in one of the fights. You know, it was the so many of these fights probably are the same where you fight with your spouse. You go, I'm not going to give you anything if you want to get out of this. Like that. And then that's brought to the counselor who was seeing us both separately. And it, you know, I probably shouldn't be talking about any of this.
All right.
But,
just say it. We'll bleep it out.
It's hard.
Tell us. We'll bleep it out.
Because the opportunity to speak to someone legally was presented to my spouse by the therapist.
Oh, yeah. So they basically said, it's time. Talk to your own counsel.
Basically said, if you're really concerned about this, maybe you should talk to somebody. I'm like, you counsel people. You are a marriage counselor trying to get people. And you have business cards of family law attorneys that you hand out?
With a referral rate?
Yeah.
What?
I bet there was a referral rate.
The F.
Yes.
So watch
Never
out.
Never forget that, all right?
Watch out for the... Careful now. Also, if your spouse is getting a makeover or suddenly hits the gym more, it could be a sign of infidelity or getting ready to jump back into the dating pool.
Yeah. I see Shannon working out a lot lately.
Yeah. And also, this is a good one. If all of a sudden your spouse stops nagging you, that means that, you know what, they don't care anymore because they've given up and they're ready to start on another relationship.
I'm A-okay on that one.
Yeah, me too. Mm-hmm. Those are the red flags you want to watch
nagging?
For. Nagging is like pestering you, bothering you.
No, I know what that is. It was more of a joke. We just don't talk.
Oh.
I'm in the...
She just goes and works out for her new husband.
That's right, yeah. And increases her spending.
Yeah. I'm sitting there on the couch the other day, and Carla walks by, and I'm like, hey, can you do me a favor? I open my mouth, and she goes, no. And she just keeps walking.
Aw. Happy January, Mike. Happy divorce month.
That's exciting. We will take a break. And nepotism is always a very interesting subject because you never know, whether someone's getting where they're getting on merit or otherwise. But we're going to talk. It's Nepo babies, right, Oscar?
Yes.
Nepo babies coming up next right here on the Mike O'Mara Show. Whoa, 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 whoa. That Latin music can mean only one thing, ladies and gentlemen, and that is it's time for Legacy Box.
Yay!
Excuse me. What's on your to-do list for 2024? You probably want to tackle that ancient box of treasured videotapes and photos that you've been meaning to preserve, but you weren't sure where to start. Legacy Box makes it so easy. Simply send in your Legacy Box filled with camcorder tapes, film reels, and pictures. Then get back digital copies that can be easily enjoyed, shared, and organized. It's like magic. And by going to legacybox.com/TMOS, you can enjoy 50% off when you get started with Legacy Box today. We've all used Legacy Box. We all love it. It's like a time machine that takes you back, and it lasts forever. After 10 years in business, Legacy Box is the world's largest digitizer, and it's all done right here in the USA. Be a hero by rescuing your family's most cherished memories that haven't been watched or enjoyed in years. Go to legacybox.com/TMOS, save 50%, buy today, send it in when you're ready. Just go to legacybox.com/TMOS, and we thank you, ladies and gentlemen.
Just to clarify, is this the flip side, or is
No, this is Nepo babies.
Okay, I just want to make sure.
Yeah, we're just running late. Here. We're running super late.
Got it.
To talk about Nepo babies really quickly.
So I have 5 minutes.
You have five minutes, absolutely.
Okay, great. I should probably know the clock more because it's in front of me right now.
That's okay.
As I just texted Mike.
No problem at all.
Quit nagging.
Quit nagging.
I'm going to throw up.
Don't throw up. That's the fourth red flag for divorce. He's vomiting all the time.
Go ahead.
A Nepo baby, for those that are not in the know, it's a short term for a nepotism baby. I'm not talking about these supermodels that essentially marry a supermodel or an actor and then become supermodels later in life. That's your traditional, I guess, Nepo baby or reality stars that then make reality stars that grow up to be reality stars.
Yeah, but
Nepo
baby.
Correct.
Right.
I'm talking about the Office Nepo baby.
Okay.
I saw, and this is a This is a sheer opinion piece, but then backed up by other reporters saying, oh, that does make sense, and I wanted to get your take on it.
Greatest example of Nepo Babies, Oscar, would be, Uday and Kuse would be the Trump boys, right? Donald Jr. and Tito Trump.
Yeah, yes, right. Yes. Well, I'm happy you mentioned the office work.
Right.
The world of the opportunities for nepotism, that world has completely changed because of the pandemic.
Really?
If you recall, when we were younger, and maybe you probably, each of us had our own experiences, but I remember that there were certain kids in my school that would have these like surreal internships in high school.
Mm-hmm.
And then in college, I was like, how did that happen? Like, I was excited to be at the Department of Labor junior year, right?
Yeah.
But they'd been doing this since they were in high school. They had like this resume.
A-list internship.
Yeah, A-list internships. Yeah,
right.
And whether it was at Morgan Stanley or like whatever it was. And then you dig a little further and you're like, oh, their father is a vice president of Morgan Stanley.
Yeah.
That's how you get. And that type of internship and that experience and that opportunity has decreased by over 50% because a lot of these interactions that are done in the office, there is no more office to do in.
So having a body around to do certain beyond the on-campus work doesn't exist anymore. The low-level stuff doesn't exist
anymore. Well, you can't even fake an internship now because right. The interns actually have to do work because it's being quantified because it's remote.
And they have to, and a lot of times being there is important too, and it doesn't work the same way as being remote, right?
Correct. So to pull in your kid that probably, and I'm not saying your kid, I'm saying for anybody's kid.
A kid.
That maybe is kind of just trying to figure out what they want to do and may give back roughly 50% or even 25% of what's being invested in them in time and attention. That no longer can exist because there's such granular oversight on these remote workers that it would be a remote internship that then would have some sort of backlash on the executive that's looking for this internship.
Is it because more people would be aware of the nepotism in an online
yes.
structure?
They can't just lurk in the shadows running cable or running boards.
Right. Or smoking a doob out in the alley, with the slacker guy from the third floor,
Or just grabbing lunch, learning about, how to make a VPN at home so the parents don't know they're using the internet. It's like.
Yeah. Well, that's in some ways, I think that's a good thing. Right?
It's refreshing.
I do not care. I've never cared for nepotism. I don't like it. It seems to result in a thing. However, I will say this about a particular industry and one that I know because I've interacted with many people in these industries. There are multiple successful automobile dealership chains around the good old United States.
Yes.
And some of these chains, a lot of them in Washington, D.C., these guys are sun makers. They breed male heirs.
Yeah.
And there's a hierarchy for some of these companies where the older brother retires young, then it's turned over to the next brother, general manager. It's amazing.
The heir and apparent to Moore Cadillac was in the class next to me, right behind me at the Robert H. Smith School of Business. And I remember he was talking about electrifying the fleet years before it was even public.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And well, he stepped up. And I'm not to say these guys don't work their asses off, but it's a pretty sweet little deal to go into the family business. Yes.
All I know about nepotism.
Especially in the Irish families and your Sheehys. You know what I mean? There you go. Well, really? Okay.
I know.
That's why you get
what
a guy.
What about the Fitzgerald? He's holding on for it. He's not letting anybody go.
Not sure what the heirs are, but I think there was the Sheehy. How about Gardner Britt, who had like 17 sons? You know? I mean, really.
Well, is it Lindsay Kuhns?
No, sure. Crystal Kuhns.
Crystal
Kuhns.
But the Kuhns family is huge as well.
The boys couldn't step up.
Yeah.
She took over.
Yeah.
Well, if it weren't for nepotism, I know you guys are against it, but if it weren't for nepotism, I wouldn't have gotten a job at Safeway.
Your mother got Rob. You at Safeway. Wonderful example of that. You couldn't fake it at Safeway.
She was sleeping with the store manager.
Hey! Hey! Hey, that's my mother!
Oh, man. It took Rob like
true
a...
True or untrue?
It took Rob...
I didn't work at his store!
It took Rob a week to stop asking permission to go take a leak. That's what it was with that. I just turned that into the Shawshank Redemption. I don't know whether to... I even got to ask permission to make water. Anyway, that's it. Nepotism. Well, good. I'm glad it's breaking up.
Higher oversight.
We will take a break, come back with the flip side. You, ladies and gentlemen, are listening to the Michael Merritt Show.
Keep it down.
Do you want to lose...
Oh, dear.
Oh,
21% of your weight.
Perfect time.
I do.
Don't eat a 780-pound burger before the show even starts. I've lost over 60 pounds.
70. So, you
I'm
know
sorry,
it's
70 true. Pounds, and I'm excited to share with you that DermGlowSkin.com is now your one-stop shop for finally getting control of your weight problem. All you have to do is click the weight loss button at DermGlowSkin.com, take the quiz, and see if you qualify today. Look for your social media. We're going to have an unboxing where I got my new supply, and I'm going to show you what it looks like, and I'm going to show you how it works, and cool. Not the injection part. I think we might have done that already. I don't even remember. But I'll show you what the packaging looks like and how they send this to you, and it's really cool to watch. So check that out. It's real easy. Take a quiz. If you qualify, a doctor writes you a prescription. The pharmacy fills it. Your weight loss medication will be shipped directly to your house. If you're sick of waiting for your meds because of low or out of stock, DermGlow will connect you with a doctor that is fully supplied. No more waiting for you. It's changed my life. I've lost so much weight that I am currently playing hide and seek with my son. The game started 4 days ago. I'm talking thin, Arthur. Go ahead, get excited, and do it all online right now at DermGlowSkin.com. If you've struggled with weight for too long, click the weight loss button and begin the best journey of your life. Make 2024 the year you finally reach your goal. With DermGlow, you can do it!
Hello.
That was my Nepo baby.
A long time ago.
The flip side.
Oh, sometimes I'm just excited to play a tape. I love coming in with this. David Letterman has been making appearances on something that they call on YouTube, on the Letterman channel, the Barbara Gaines Show. But it's his old producer, Barbara Gaines, and it's normally an excuse for him to get on with Paul. And he actually did a pro Taylor Swift video that is gaining some traction, and it's extraordinarily funny. And watching it, he makes a lot of good points, but it also reminds you, we miss you, Dave.
Mm-hmm.
Taylor Swift, I don't think in the history of show business, in the history of popular culture, we've ever witnessed anything like this. Tremendous. She fills stadiums around the world and puts on a three-hour show. Now, we live in a world now where all we hear is nonsense and ugliness, and the nonsense can't be more nonsensical, and the ugliness... God hopes it can't get any uglier, but that's all we hear. That's all we hear. So now here's Taylor Swift, who is a glowing, bright light of goodness in the world, and she starts dating Kelsey Grammer. And people...
No, that's not true.
What?
Kelsey Grammer?
Yes.
Yeah. An interesting pairing.
And people go crazy. And the Kelsey Grammer people say, oh, no, don't bother us. We're all... caught up in football. We don't want Taylor in football. And the Taylor Swift people, the Swifties, are saying, oh, we don't want a footballer in here with Kelsey Grammer. And I'm
Travis
saying,
Kelsey.
Huh?
Travis Kelsey.
Right, Travis Kelsey. And I say to both camps, this is such a lovely thing. Shut up. Yep. It's good for the footballers. Yeah. It's good for Taylor Swift. And it's something positive and happy for the world. And also politically, Taylor Swift is a huge force. And I think just wants to see people do the right thing. So God bless Taylor Swift and Kelsey Grammer. That's
not
all
Kelsey
I had.
Kelsey Grammer.
Hmm? Taylor Swift, I don't think in the history.
That's just so Dave.
Isn't it
that's
wonderful,
so
though?
Simple, Dave. Yeah, it's great. Great. Fantastic. Throwback.
And also
throwback
to
what he used to do.
Even that Paul is off camera. Paul says, it's a very curious pairing.
Yeah, that's why the formula works. It's still making me laugh. Yeah. I love that.
Let's close with this. Dateline Denver. You order a Domino's pizza and you think that's the worst thing that's going to happen to you in a day, right? No, this Domino's pizza guy has got himself a scam. He's out there stealing things in 30 minutes or less.
surveillance video obtained by Fox 31. You can see a pizza delivery driver walking around apartments in the 900 block of Emerson Street. About 4 minutes later, he can be seen stuffing a package inside a pizza carrier before leaving and walking away.
Just like trying to figure out what's going on.
Anthony Torres was shocked to look back on his footage the next day to find his package swiped.
It made me very nervous and kind of tell that he was truly trying to see what else was available. We've had other incidences here where things weren't clear on the camera, but this was pretty clear.
The package stolen worth a little more than $100.
Does
everybody talk like that out in this part of the world?
What's going
on? I don't know.
But that's not the issue.
The issue, Mike, is the fact that he was able to keep that package warm because he put it in his pizza carrier.
Did they ask the pizza delivery guy that was stealing the thing what his opinion was?
I've made a very big mistake.
Yeah. Well, Mike, we've had a lot of incidences.
Yes. I'm going to have an incident in about 5 minutes. We got a great, great, great burger. The double Big Mac. Check it out. We'll see you next time. Brand new episode tomorrow on the Mike O'Mara Show. Thank you for all your support. For Rob Spiewak and Oscar Santana, this is Mike O'Mara saying happy eating, everyone. So long, everybody.
It's a weird pairing.
Ciao, ciao.
Want more? Make sure you check out the Mike O'Mara Bonus Show. Get it at MikeO'MaraShow.com.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
That's it! That's all you got for me up here, you candy-ass clown! Come on, bitch!
Playoffs? Don't talk about playoffs? You kidding me? Playoffs? Where's the money?